Good morning, Rabbi Utai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today has been sponsored and dedicated in loving memory of Elilin Shmat Yosef Moshe Ben Rabbi Meir Vechurshit, sponsored by his son Rafael Dagan, and as well dedicated in loving memory of Mizli Safra Dash Elilin Shmat Lea Batchana. Her philanthropy has reached so many throughout the entire world. Breakfast in the Class dedicated in loving memory of Tammy's father Ronan Levy Elilin Shmat Ronan Ben Margalit, sponsored by Tammy and Michael Abdan. And as well, the week of breakfast in the Class is sponsored by Eliana and David Shasha's friends in honor of their wedding. Dedicated in loving memory of Suri Alfonso Zanzuri, Lili Nishmat Suri Ben Clement Viyulanda, sponsored by Avram Simmons. The week of Kobru is sponsored by David Yash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to do good today and every day. And finally, the month of Kobru is dedicated in honor of Rachel Sayed, donated by her children. Hazaku Baruch, Arichut Yamim Vishanim. Let's start today with the words of the Gemara. The Gemara in Berachot on page 7b says as follows. Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, in the names of Rashbi, Miyom shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Olamo, from the day that God created his world, lo haya adam shehoda laKadosh Baruch Hu, there did not exist a person who said thank you to God Ad sheba ata lea vehodato, until Leah came along and gave thanks. Shneemar, as the pasuk says, hapam ode et amonai. This time, I will thank God. Now, most times we understand that what Leah was saying was hapam this time, as opposed to the three children that I had before, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. However, we look at this idea of hapam very similar to the way our Chachamim adoresh the pasuk of Vayishkav b'makom hahu. What's the derasha in those words? Vayishkav b'makom hahu. Rashi says, and Yaakov lay down in that place, indicating that up until that place, Yaakov Avinu did not lie down. When he studied Torah while he was sitting up in his chair. And not only did he sit up in his chair to push himself to learn more, Chazal tell us that he stuck his feet in cold water to be able to keep himself more alert and awake while he was studying Torah. So finally, this time, at this point, Vayishkav makom ahu. So that mi'ut, which means when we're saying something is here, but perhaps not somewhere else, right? So too, apam udei et Hashem, she wasn't excluding the earlier births only, she was excluding everything that had happened up until that moment. Now, I've always had a very deep question about this. What does it mean that this is the first time that God has been thanked? How could it be that Avraham Avinu didn't thank God? That Sarah did not thank God? That did not thank God? How could that be? How could it be that Yitzchak did not thank God? That Rivka did not thank God? That Noach did not thank God? That Adam did not thank God? How could such a thing be? And yet, the Gemara is teaching us that from the day, it doesn't make mince words over here. From the day that God created this world, lo haya adam shehoda laKadosh Baruch Hu ad shebata lea vehodato. How could such a thing be? So, I want to perhaps maybe take a little bit of a detour and then come back to this principle. What are we learning, even if we don't understand why it didn't happen before? But what are we learning from Leah and this obligation to give thanks? So I want to draw your attention to something that I think is super interesting. It says the pasuk, and she called him Yehuda. Why? Because hapam ode et Hashem. And then the pasuk says something that you can't believe. After the very first thank you had been given, v'ta'amod miledet, and she stopped giving birth. And the Chachamim explain that this idea of a ta'amod miledet is not just an updating, we're not just getting an update on whether or not Leah was having more babies, but v'ta'amod miledet is a direct result from the Pasuk. Just like we saw yesterday, that the Pasuk tells us that Leah was hated, and Rachel was beloved, and Rachel was akara, and we understood that Rachel's akaraness, her inability, is directly connected to the pasuk before it that says, and Leah was hated and Rachel was loved and Rachel could not have children. So to hear, Leah is thankful. She says, hapam odeh et Hashem, v'ta'amod miledet. There's a connection between her thanking of God and the fact that she was no longer giving birth. And what is that connection? It's such a good thing that she thanked Hashem. And the Chachamim tell us something unbelievable. Why? Because since Leah said thank you, but did not ask for more, she was not awarded, she was not granted any more children. Now, first of all, we got to get our heads around this concept. What does that mean? When someone says thank you, we're being told you have to ask for more. If you got something, you have to ask for more. That's, in my opinion, that's the most, that's the highest lack of appreciation, is that when someone gives you something, you tell them, I want more. By very definition, let's say someone, as an example, buys you, what's it called? A dozen roses. And you tell them, a dozen? I really want 2 dozen. What do you tell? Give them back to me. I don't know why you're buying another guy roses, but I'm just saying. Okay? Someone takes you out for dinner, and you say, oh, only dinner. But I want dessert. What do you tell the guy? Just go to the bathroom, and then you leave. Leave him with the bill. This guy has no hakarat hatob. When someone asks for more, doesn't it by definition mean that they're saying? No, it's COVID. I'm sketching. It's not COVID. What, right? Doesn't it by definition mean that the person does not have hakarat hatov? Because they're asking for more. So on the one hand, we're being told that Leah is not getting more children because when she said thank you, she didn't ask for more. And on the other hand, we're being told that no one had ever said thank you to God until that moment. And then on the other hand, we're being told, right, that that this is a good thing. I don't understand. Which is it? Is saying thank you a good thing? If saying thank you is a good thing, then you shouldn't be asking for more. If asking for more is something that's a good thing, then that means that you didn't appreciate it. Which way do we go with this? I want to share something I think is very powerful. It is true that if I give you something and you ask for more, it's a lack of hakarat hatov. That is true. With human beings. Because with a human being, if I give you something and I don't give you more, what's really happening here is I'm saying to you, thank you, and now I'll take care of myself. I'm not going to keep relying on you. I'm not going to ask you to give me more. I'm not going to keep telling you I want more. But with God, a person does not have the ability to say to Hashem, thank you for what you've given me. I'll take it from here. We don't have that ability. Al-chayech, al-chayenu ha-mesurim, right? Bi-yadecha, on our lives that are in your hands every day. The fact that God took care of you yesterday does not make you okay today. Yeah, you needed him yesterday, you need him today, and you're going to need him tomorrow. So therefore, when it comes to Borei Olam, you know what a true thank you is? A true thank you must have attached to it a request for more. There were great chachamim that when people asked them, how's your day? They would say, Baruch Hashem, right? Please God, more. Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem. But they learned from the Ah. And Be'ezat Hashem, we should have a great day today. We should have a great day this week. We should have a great week this week. Because the minute you don't ask for more, what does it mean? Not just, ironically, the exact opposite of a human being. What does it mean? It means that you are not cognizant and recognizing how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you. Let me give you an example. I want you to imagine a person goes to the hospital. And in the hospital, they're on They're on a respirator, right? The respirator, what is it doing? Every time a person can't breathe for himself, it forces oxygen into their lungs. Right? It looks like the person's breathing themselves to the outsider. But really, it's the fact that he's attached to this ventilator or a respirator. The stomach is moving out, the stomach is moving in, the stomach is moving out. Imagine someone looking at this person saying, why is he attached to the machine? The guy's breathing by himself. He's not breathing by himself. He's breathing because of the machine. You know how you know he's incapable of breathing himself? Disconnect the machine for a second. So if a person doesn't understand that they constantly need to be praying to God. Now for most of us, when do we pray? We pray when you need something. Now even somebody who comes to praying every day, they're not fulfilling what we're talking about. Let me explain what I mean. Someone needs bar minan, a refuah shel ma, for someone, for themselves. They come to shul, they're praying, they're outside, Hashem, please heal. Hashem, please save. And Hashem, Oshiana. Right? They're praying from the depths of their heart for survival. A person who prays every day, you'd think, okay, this guy's much better. He's not only praying when he needs something, he's praying every day. He comes, shachrit min chayabi. Incorrect. You know why? Why is our three times a day guy coming to shul? Because it's a mitzvah to pray. Because you have an obligation to pray shacharit min hanarbit. But that guy is also missing the boat. Because what you should really be having is a hybrid, an amalgam of both of these people together. You should be praying every day, every prayer, like it's a refuah shelema prayer. When we say, in the last hallelujah, we say, kol ha-nishama te'alelia, hallelujah. Every soul, kol ha-nishama te'alelia, should praise you, Hashem, hallelujah, praise God. What does it mean, kol ha-nishama? The Gemara says, al kol nishima unshima. We translate it normally, every soul. But kol ha-nishama means every breath that I take. Al kol nishima unshima. For every breath that I take, I thank Hashem. Now, I want to try that for example, together with you today. Let's try, for example, a breathing meditation. Except, we're not going to say, Okay? I want you to just sit here for 1 second. And as you breathe in, and your lungs expand, and you feel the oxygen coming into your system, you say, thank you. And then, you let it out, and you say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're not going to get anything done today. But in truth, that's really how a person should function. Why are we not saying thank you for every breath? Because I have a job. I need to go to the bathroom. I have to go do this. I need to update my, the shiur register. But in truth, every single day, every single minute, Borei Olam is giving to you. Now, what would happen if, just as an example, the same way I got distracted from saying thank you to Hashem for my breathing. Imagine, Chas v'Shalom, Hashem got distracted. You know why? You don't know. His WhatsApp is blowing up. People messaging him for all sorts of things. He forgot about Shlomo Fari for 1 minute. What would happen? Gone. I wouldn't explode. What would happen? Every single system that the body relies on would shut down. Now, most people are thinking, okay, Hashem forgets about me. You know, I'm underwater. I can hold my breath for, I don't know, a good 2 minutes. So I have 2 minutes to like run around and say, he gets the car. He gets the house. You know, this one gets the thing. I can, you know, make my last minute. That's not how it works. Bar Minan, if you ever saw someone have a stroke. Bar Minan, if you ever saw someone stop living. If you ever saw someone pass away. You don't get, there's not like a timer. You just stop on the moment. Kol nishama unshama. Akol nishima unshima. So Le'ah is the first person to thank Hashem. What does that mean? It does not mean, I don't believe, that none of the avot did not say, you know why? Because in Judaism we understand that a person who doesn't say thank you is not a Jew. A person could not be possibly be a tzaddik. In fact, you find that the avot, even prior to this moment, are saying things which consist of thank you, in other words. Avraham, the korbanot that the avot bring, right, etc., etc. My friends, I think there's something that we're being taught over here from Le'ah, and that is that Le'ah, when she said thank you for Yehuda, was touching on something that no one had ever seen before, and that was the unexpected. You know, Noach was a big tzaddik, Abraham, tzaddik, Yitzhak, tzaddik, Yaakov, tzaddik. The way of the world is supposed to be that God takes care of tzaddikim. Shomer Amunai, et kolo avav, karov Hashem, chokor av. The way of the world is that God takes care of tzaddikim. Right? That's how God set up the world. Was Abraham thankful for the fact that he had great things from God? Of course he was. But Abraham understood that to be because of the fact that he was doing what he was supposed to do. This is the first moment where we find someone who is completely cognizant of the fact that they do not deserve what they got, and they got it anyway. Our rabbis explain that each one of the imahot, right, was supposed to have three children. There's 12 shvatim, there's four different sources for those children, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah. Each one should have three. But in fact, Rachel has two, right? How many did the Shvachot have, Bilhah, Zilpah? Two each. And how many does Leah have? Six. At this point, she's got four. But this child, Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, took her over the mark of children she was supposed to have. So she says, Hapam Odeh Hashem. This is an undeserving thank you. Undeserved. By the way, I always wondered, why is it that Leah asks for more each time? Here she stops. This is why. She knows that everything comes from God. She's asked for more. Just like Rachel, she has her first child. What does she say? Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Hashem, thank you for this one. Give me another one. Yeah? At this point, my friends, we wonder why they had didn't answer. This is the answer. She's not supposed to have more. But what God was saying to Leah is something fascinating. He says to Leah, no one has realized that I can give more than they deserve. That I give even when there's no reason for me to give. Until you. You're the one who recognizes that. If you're the one that brought that chidush into the world, then why aren't you asking for more? You don't deserve it? So what? If I gave you four, why wouldn't I give you five? I want people here listening to this on here online to ask themselves one question. Do you feel lucky? I'm not saying that like some, you know, moment in a film or a show. Ask yourself one question. Do you feel lucky? Right? I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you in your life, do you feel lucky? Do you feel that you're blessed? People start to think, oh my gosh, you know, everybody gets busy with day to day. You don't realize all the amazing things that you have in your life. But when a person realizes all the tremendous brachot, and by the way, if I don't have this, what do I have? If I don't have that, what do I have? You know, I always think to myself, you know, I had this guy, he came to pray in the Beit Knesset. He came to pray in the Beit Knesset in London. And we're sitting together, and the guy's praying. I said to him, you know, I admire the way you pray. Man prays with such emotion, such devotion. You know, you could see, like, he's completely taken in with his own, with tefillah. Anyway, so at the end of the tefillah, I said to him, you know, I was very impressed. Thank you so much. You taught me a lot about prayer, just watching you pray. And the man said something, it's just shocking. He said, yeah. It's not like it's working. I said, what? I was like deleting all the information. I just took off one with the guy. Like, delete, get that out, get it. He says, you know, I'm praying in this shul for a very long time. Two rows in front of me, who's praying? This guy, one of the guys in the synagogue over there in London, very wealthy guy. He says, I pray, I can't put bread on the table. This guy finishes Amidah in 10 seconds, comes late, leaves early. He gets the kavod, has all the money, has everything. He has everything. It's not like it's working. First of all, you have to admire this man's tenacity. The guy's praying like a champ, and he don't even think it works. Could you imagine he thought it worked? Anyway, so I didn't say anything to him, because it's not my place to say. It's not my place to say. But I was thinking to myself, what a muppet. That's a great English expression. What a muppet. That does not mean that he is a childish character from Sesame Street. What a moron. Sorry? I hope he is listening to the tape. What a moron. Now, it's not his fault, because he doesn't know he's a moron. Why does he not know he's a moron? Because what he doesn't know, is this guy spends almost every day, how come he comes late, how come he leaves early? No. He's running back and forth to the hospital because his son is not well. And the guy will spend any money on earth to be able to save his son's life. And here's this guy just praying and wishing if only he could be like this guy. This rich man. This man with the kavod. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if I asked the rich man if he would trade places with the guy sitting behind him, who has a beautiful family. They don't have designer clothes, maybe. They don't drive in a fancy car. But if I told him, you could switch. You know, I have the cure for your son. Yeah, just I need all of your money. You need to move into this guy's house. In a minute. And I thought to myself, maybe this is what tefillah working looks like. That this guy would wish to trade places, and God granted you that wish. Now, you don't know he's a moron, because no one talks about, it's very private, that this man's son is not well. Ach ya'ani. Hapam odeh Hashem. Everybody's lucky. You don't have this, maybe you want a shidduch, maybe you want more kids, maybe you want more money, maybe you want, can you breathe? Call a nishamata, that's enough, if you could breathe. Ya'ani. I was in a room, unfortunately, with someone who passed away. The funeral is today. You see someone fighting just for another breath. Fighting, trying to stay in this world. Not willing, not wanting to leave it. You don't have to have a lot of money to realize how rich you are in that room. But unfortunately, we don't have ourselves. Our minds are not in that room. Our minds are where we want to be. So Le'ah understands, Hapam odeh et Hashem. I realize that I'm lucky. Thank you. So God turns around to her and says, if that's the case, how come you didn't ask for another one? You're not deserving? You weren't deserving of that one. Vata'amod miledet. At what point does she have a zechut to continue to have children? When she invests in having more children. When she's not willing to sit back, the status quo, Sachor Secharticha, she says, you know what, I'll trade you, Rachel. Yaakov will come to me and I'll try to have more children. And in the merit of the effort to be able to have more, even though she doesn't deserve. Because being deserving is not what it's all about. God gives whether you deserve it or not. When a person thinks that way, then not only do they feel lucky in their life, but they also understand they have to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every prayer and pray for the very basics. Pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, not today I have a big meeting. Today I have a meeting. Let the emails go well. I spoke last night at a conference. And before I spoke, I'm praying to Hashem. Hashem, please put the right words in my mouth. But you know what? If I didn't have the right words in my mouth, when I spoke to my wife, wouldn't I be in trouble? Some people do pray before they speak to their wives. They have other issues. But that's how it should be. In those moments, Rabotai, a person lives with the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's blessing us all the time. These blessings, these miracles are with us constantly. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing us all the time, Be'ezrat Hashem, He should continue to bless us. When someone here gives you a beracha, say thank you. Inshallah, the Ashkenaz have an expression. Gesunte hay means very healthy hay. I think horses say that to each other. I think the word you're looking for is gesunte hate. But either way, my friends, Ashkenaz have a term, and the term goes halavai viter. Halavai means if only. Vayter means more. I don't know how you say that in Arabic, by the way. Right? We have a thing. We always say, inshallah. You're going to give me a bracha? Hashem should bless. Hashem should will it. You know? Someone tells you, skushin rabot. You don't say amen. What do you say? Nimot v'tovot. He just bless you with good years. You're like, they should be pleasant. V'tovot, they should be good. Right? You ask. Because we're learning this concept. Always realize that everything comes from Borei Olam, and that Borei Olam is waiting for you to ask for more. And if you're not asking for more, it means that you think you got this by yourself. And if you feel you got this by yourself, what does Hashem say? Okay. Let's see how you do. Just gonna hit the plug. Guys, pull the plug on Fahi. We'll just yank the plug on Fahi. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Go. The words, the frightening words of the Chovot HaLevavot are Mesir Hashgachato Mimenu. Hashem should bless us always to have his Hashgacha. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.